Everyone turn to John 16:33. We'll start out in here. And Billy, why don't you read that one, please?
Okay. Forgive me for being slow.
That take your time.
It's India paper.
Yeah.
Okay. It must be 16 because 15 to 33 doesn't exist. Here we go. Those things I have spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation. Be of good cheer. I have overcome the world.
Yeah, see, it says here, in the world you shall have tribulation. But be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. What I want to share today is basically fighting the good fight of faith and how to fight it, what it is, and anything around that, how we can deal with the situations, like the tribulations in life. We're all faced with adversity at times, difficult situation, problems. This whole Word of God, if you go from Genesis to Revelation, is an overcoming book, right? There's adversity, people believe God, they overcome. There's adversity, people didn't believe God, they didn't overcome. I'm going to keep it in the most common denominator, if you will. There's record after record. We have Noah, you know, we have Abraham, you know, we have Jonah, we have, you know, Joseph of Egypt, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, Daniel. But the greatest overcomer was our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He faced every temptation, everything that the adversary threw at him. And he basically whipped it every time. Because he stayed in tune with his Father. So he knew the will of the Father in every situation. And that's one of the keys to us walking by believing and fighting the good fight of faith. So that's just a little introduction. And also to remember, God doesn't bring the trials and temptations, right? But he brings us out of them when we believe. That's the key here. A lot of people, you hear in the world sometimes that, you know, God's testing you here and he's testing me and, you know, making me a better person. Well, let's go to the Word of God and let the Word speak on that. But it says God does not tempt with anyone, neither can he be tempted, right? Let's turn to Romans. Chapter 1, and we'll go on our Murray walk here. Romans 1:16 says, For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. And if you look at the first verse and the third verse, I mean, it's the gospel of God concerning Jesus Christ. For it is the power, the gospel of God concerning Jesus Christ is the power of God unto salvation. Deliverance. That's physical, that's preservation, deliverance, safety. The word sozo. To everyone that what? Believes. To the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein, where? In the gospel of God concerning Jesus Christ, which is the power of God and salvation, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from believing to believing, as written, the just shall live by faith. So every time we read faith here, to me, well, faith is believing God, right? Sometimes when you say believing, it's like, well, to me, you know, it's faith is believing what God said. Like it says in Romans 10:9-10, it says, this is the word of faith. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in thy heart that God raised from the dead, thou shalt be saved. And the word comes from God, so it's the word to be believed. So the key here is the fight, that's where the fight is. It's believing God, the fight of faith. It's we either believe God day to day or we don't. I mean, that's the bottom line here. Look at 1 John 5:4. Very basic, but here it's a key verse. It says, for whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. This is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. And remember, our faith is believing God. right? It's believing what God says about us, what we are in Christ Jesus, what we have in Christ Jesus. And that believing is corresponding action on that word. It's just not a knowing. And that's where a lot of people are deceived. And James says, be doers and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. Because a lot of times we know a lot of the Word of God, or we've been exposed to a lot, and we've been to classes, and we've been to sitting under people's feet, learning different areas of the Word of God, and we know a lot. But the key isn't just knowing. That's, you need to know to believe, but is to act on that. And sometimes we say, oh, yeah, I know that. Or like, you're going to hear some things today, and you may say, oh, I know that. But then, do I believe it? And have I received it by believing? Do I have the revelation of it? And that's the key here. Look at 1 Corinthians 9:26. So the fight, we're going to look at the faith fight here. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 26. Apostle Paul here. He went through some adversity, right? To say the least. So he's qualified to speak on the subject. I'm just going to skip down to verse 26, but this is telling how to run the race that's set before us here. But verse 26, it says, I therefore so run, not as uncertainty. So fight I, not as one that beateth the air. Now, basically, he's talking about like beating the air, you're shadow boxing. Now, when you shadow box, if you see a boxer, you can shadow box and you're going through motions. You can break a sweat. You exert a lot of energy, but you're not accomplishing anything, right? You're not really hitting the mark. So in the faith fight, people are doing, sometimes you do a lot of stuff and you think this is it, but you're not. There's no results. Or maybe we're hitting the wrong thing or approaching the wrong way. Also, the key word in that verse is, I therefore run not as uncertainty. See, I made a couple notes on that. See, when we learn the Word of God, we can fight with certainty. We can fight knowing what our resources are, that we have the Word of God. We have Holy Spirit. We have the right to name, use the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We can speak in tongues. So we're going to clear that uncertainty today, hopefully a little bit. It'll tell us the kind of fight, the faith fight is, who we're fighting and how to fight, and then our resources. So we get a little clearer picture on it, so we're not beating the air. We're not just shadow boxing, if you will. So turn to 2 Timothy 4:7, please. We're going to be bouncing around some verses here. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 7. See, later on, Paul writes to Timothy here in verse 7. It says, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. And I have underlined, if you look at, I have fought a good fight. I have kept the faith. That's what he's talking about. And he fought. It takes a fight. There's a battle. We're going to see where the battlefield is. And, of course, it's the arena of our mind. We were talking earlier before we started this fellowship. Look at 1 Timothy 6:12. And this is a command here in 6:12. It says, fight the good fight of faith. It's a good fight. Of believing, and remember, we read faith of believing God. That's the fight. We're either believing God or not. That's the fight. Lay hold on eternal life. Now, I looked up that lay hold on eternal life. It's practically appropriating all the benefits, privileges, responsibility involved in possession of our eternal life. It's our rights, privileges, and abilities that we have. It's laying hold on it. Because he's saying lay hold because something's trying to take it away. The thief cometh not but for steal, kill, and destroy, right? He wants you to let go. He can't do anything to you. We have full control over our situation. We either get talked out of it, It's not that he can, the devil made me do it. No, it's we either by our free will say, ah, well, no, it's no worth it. And then we'll see how we deal with discouragement and so forth. So the key here is we want to lay hold, keep, maintain hold, and it's going to take a fight. Because it's going to be, there's things out there, situations. Could be our old man nature and the adversary, the world. Always, it's always contrary to the word of God, right? Who we are in Christ and what we have. So we see it's a faith fight. Now remember, it's not a reasoning fight. It's not a feelings fight. So we walk by faith, not by sight, right? So that's a key to keep in mind. We don't reason in this fight because we will lose. Look at Eve, right? Good example. But then we look at the Lord Jesus Christ. It is written in John, Luke 4:4, right? It is written. He because he knew the word of God to apply in a situation. And yet, in order to know that, he had to spend time in the word of God and with his Father. So he had to be prepared to deal with situations that come up. A couple points I just made about walking by faith and not by sight. Faith does not look at circumstances and doesn't consider feelings. It's not what I feel or not what I see. It's what the Word of God says, basically. And faith stays completely focused on the Word of God. That's why in the Proverbs, there's Proverbs 4:20, it says, my son, attend unto my word, incline thy ear to my sayings, let them not depart from thy heart, keep them in the midst, let them not depart from thine eyes, keep them in the midst of thy heart, for they are life to those that find them and health to all their flesh. Doesn't mean don't consider anything else, the word. And in Hebrews, it says in Hebrews 12:3, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of faith, and that word is the faith. He is the faith. He is the focal point of believing. Him and everything that he's brought in this, all the abilities and privileges that we have because of him, that's come through him. Because in that context of Hebrews 11, you have all the great, you know, hall of fame of believing, right? You know, you have Noah, and these all died in faith without the promise, right? Now it says, look away from everything else unto him. See, he is the prime example, right? He is the prime example. He's the head of the body, right? And it's Christ in us, the hope of glory. It says, put on the mind of Christ. So we're supposed to do all that stuff. So where does it take place? Where does the fight take place? Let's look, see what the word says. 2 Corinthians 10. Says, for though we walk in the flesh, see, we don't war after the flesh. It's still not a flesh fight. It's a faith fight. It's a spiritual fight. And look, verse 4. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. All right? We're not physical. We don't reason. They're not weapons of reasoning. Your ability, your physical ability, mental ability, financial ability. But it's mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. It's through God. And look at verse 5. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God. Bringing into captivity what every thought to the obedience of Christ. So every thought takes place in our minds, right? That's where, right there. It's in our minds. That's where the fight takes place. Put a couple notes on here. Anytime the adversary bombards our minds with his lies and suggestions, we must counter his lies with the word of God. That's basically what it's talking about. And some of these strongholds that it's talking about, it's not just thoughts coming in our minds, it's the way we built thinking patterns in our minds over the years, and that they're contrary to the word of God. And they're a little tougher to deal with sometimes, because over time, as we renew our mind, we pull them down, you know. Look at 2 Corinthians, look at the next chapter, 11:3. See, but I fear lest by any means, as a serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, is that the right word, subtlety?
Subtlety.
Thank you, Janet. So your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. That's the key here. God is not the author of confusion. God's word's simple. It says, you are righteous, you believe you're righteous. It doesn't say, I feel righteous, I look righteous, the community doesn't think I'm righteous, my mother doesn't think I'm righteous, my wife or husband. It says we're righteous. So, see the simplicity of the word. We get it and we believe it. And we make that decision now. We just said, you make this with God in prayer and meditation. You say, Father, I thank you. I'm going to believe what your word says the best of my ability today. No matter what it says, I'm going to do it. So you make the commitment. See, we have the power of choice. That's the key here. Yeah. People don't think they have that. They say, well, you don't think you have choice. And it's very powerful when you say, I decide to do this, or I refuse to do something else. It's very powerful. And we have that power. God's given us the free will. That's why it's free. But he's given us guidance to how to use that will, too. So it takes place in the mind. Let's go to Genesis 3:1, because I know sometimes we keep our eyes on it. It communicates. I use another sense, seeing and hearing. I just want to point out. Chapter 3, verse 1. So we all know what God said prior to this, that if in verse 2:17, I believe it is. Yeah, but of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it, for in that day thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Now, is that simple?
Yeah.
Is that real clear?
Yeah.
Right? So it isn't very confusing here. There's not like, well, in this case, there's some waivers, if you will. No, it's basically, yeah, it isn't. There's no gray area. You die, you don't die. You do this, and you do that. Simple as that. And the whole Word of God's like that. But look at chapter 3. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field the Lord God had made, and he said unto the woman, this is the key point I want to bring out, yeah, hath God said. See, that's the key thing, how he tries to get you to doubt. Once you doubt, then you end up, basically she doubted because she considered the word. She considered what he said. We don't even go there. See, that's the sort of the way, like, well, maybe that does sound good. Oh, yeah, it's another option maybe. Yeah, maybe we can do. Really, you just think about it. We've all been there. And then, of course, she ultimately rejected the word of God. Disobeyed, but she wrecked. That's rejecting the word of God. She wrote, I don't believe you. I'm going to believe this. And she acted on it. And then Adam did it. But he wasn't deceived, right? He knew straight off. So, which is kind of befuddling to me, but I'm not in the shoes there. But the key is, that's one of the key tools. It's questioning who you are, what you have in Christ. That's one of the key tools of the fight. And look at 1 Peter 5. So we go on the other side of the Bible here. We'll just get some frequent flyer miles going around here today. Here, so 1 Peter 5, verse 9. Well, we can go. Well, first, verse 8, basically, be sober and be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walketh as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. We need to be wise to that this, there's an adversary out there, right? And so we need clear-minded, focused, watchful. That's what we see with sober, vigilant. But then it says, what to do. This is whom is us. It isn't pray to God to resist the devil. No, it doesn't say that. It says we. Jesus Christ didn't go to his Father and say, God, take care of this temptation. No, he resisted, right? Mm-hmm. That's where a lot of times, at least in my life, learning is how to resist. Because a lot of times it's like, well, maybe I just don't think this thought anymore. And that's not the whole thing. Resist means to oppose. It means to set oneself against. So to withstand. So it says, whom resists? How do we resist? It's the next word, steadfast in the faith. Steadfast means to be firm. Okay, firm. I got it cheating over here somewhere. Firm, unyielding, resolved, inflexible. You're very inflexible, narrow-minded, if you will, some people may call you. But you want to be narrow-minded on the Word of God. Because the Word says it, I don't hear nothing else. That's being narrow-minded, but that's being unyielding. Don't give in, don't consider. And it's very subtle when these things come along, when some thoughts and suggestions come along, and that's why we need to be watchful. So it says resist. And in James 4:7, you don't have to turn there, it says, submit therefore yourselves to God, basically to His Word, what His Word says, resist the devil and he will flee. So we resist with the Word of God, and we're going to see he will flee. It's we resist. We're the ones who do the resisting. We don't pray to God for him to flee. It doesn't say that. All right? Jesus Christ didn't do that. Right? Now, you can pray for direction, of course, and all that information, what to do about the situation and so forth. But ultimately, look at Jesus Christ. He always did the will of the Father, so he had to check in with the will of the Father, and then he acted on the will of the Father. So when he was in the temptation on Luke 4:4, he said it is written. He just didn't make it up. Now remember, his temptation was a twofold. If thou be the Son of God, questioning who he was, right? Make the stone, command the stone to be bread. Now he's and his power, right? So it was a double sword. Oh yeah, I'm the Son of God. So now prove it to me. But he checked with God if what to do with the next step. Right, so it was a double whammy he had there. He was his sonship was being questioned, and then the trick was, okay, you are the son, so now do this. Mm-hmm. Like obeying, follow what I'm telling you. Just like he did to Eve. Okay, just do that, So it's why he's subtle. He's the serpent, he's sly. But we have the Word of God, we have the wisdom of God, we have the Holy Spirit, we got the manifestations, so we could be on top of everything as we stay in the Word of God. So here's a couple of points I noted when I was going through this. So it basically, one of the key attack points is to get us to doubt who we are, our righteousness to condemn ourselves. Two main tools, fear, condemnation. Think about it, fear and condemnation. Because if you're doubting the Word, if you don't think you're worthy, you're not going to believe God. If you're not worthy to believe God, if you think God's putting through the trial, well, why would you believe God to get you out of the trial, if you're thinking that way? So just think of how confusing all these thoughts are. But look at Romans 8:31. Let's go there. Because in Romans 8, it tells us about our righteousness. Part of the armor of God, it says, put on the whole armor of God. The armor of God is renewing our minds to the Word. In specific areas, it points out. And one is the breastplate of righteousness, that we are righteous. And in Romans, it tells us we weren't righteous and God made us righteous. Mm-hmm. How did we get righteous? By what we did?
No.
By grace. Yes, and we are made the righteous of God in Christ Jesus. So we need to put that on when condemnation comes to our mind. Self-worth is not good and so forth. We're not worthy and all those thoughts come up. We say, whoa. Here's what the Word of God says. It's written, I am righteous. I don't care if I feel righteous. I don't look righteous today. I mean, I just got up out of bed. You don't look righteous. But I am righteous. And this is how we resist those thoughts. And this is how we tear down those thoughts, that we bring them to Christ. We bring them to the Word of God. Look at Romans 8:31. We just don't say, well, I'm righteous, I'm righteous, I'm righteous. No, we go to the Word of God. Jesus didn't say, he went to the Word of God and quoted the Word of God, spoke the Word of God to the situation. 8:31 says, what shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Right there. God's not against us. We have access to God, right, through the faith of Jesus Christ. We are right through because we were made righteous, it says in Romans 5:1. If God be for us, who could be against us? He spared not his own son, but he delivered him up for us all. How shall he not with him freely give us all things? So you're doubting God shall supply all your needs. No. It says right here, how shall we not? And then it says in Philippians 4:19, my God shall supply. No, not might. Yeah. So whatever your financial situation looks like, it doesn't looks bleak. If your job situation is not maybe good or whatever, my God shall supply. He will supply because he loves me, because I'm righteous. He gave his son for me. It's a done deal, so I refuse to believe anything else. See, that's how we have to start getting an attitude. That's the fight. It's a fight. It's not like a wishy-washy, well, I guess, you know, like a mushroom or marshmallow here. So basically, when thoughts come to our mind, we proclaim what the Word of God says, boldly. And we may not feel like it's right at the time or because the situation looks drastic, but we just proclaim it. Praise God, proclaim the Word. He brings it to pass. We believe he brings it to pass. Jesus Christ believed it. It says God worked in it and he brought it to pass, you know. Same thing to Paul. He brings it to pass, right? We have to just believe. He gives us what to believe. We believe, he brings it to pass. So let's go summarize this in Ephesians. We're not going to read the whole sixth chapter, but some key points I would just want to bring out for this. Six 10 of Ephesians. It says, finally, basically, therefore, in consideration of a lot of things that came before here, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Now, this is defines our strengthening is in the Lord, right? That's where the power, our strength comes. It says, be strong in the Lord. It's command. So it's a preparation command. You be prepared. Because there's things coming down here we need to be prepared for. Put on. And then it tells us what did it put on, the whole armor of God. That why? That you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. So you may be able to stand. Now, if we don't put on the whole armor of God, we're not able. Right? Axiomatic, right? It's just the opposite of that. So God's telling us, be prepared. Then it tells you it's a spiritual fight. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness from high on high. This verse 10, again, I want to run back to that. It says, in our own strength, we're no match for the devil. So the first command is that we should be continually strengthening the Lord. An amplified version, as a real amplifies it, of course, here. In conclusion, be strong in the Lord. Be empowered through your union with him. Draw your strength from him, that strength which his boundless might provides. It's pretty cool there, you know. So we get our strength from God. It's not being strong in our believing. It's in the Lord.
Right.
See, believing what he says. So it's not like, it's got to whip up this believing. You know, you read it and say, I believe it. That's it. Mm-hmm. And you keep saying, I believe it. And,
right.
And not till you feel it or, you know, just... We don't make it, see, a lot of times we're waiting for a feeling, or we're trying to like read or understand it. No, it doesn't say understand and then believe, right? It says believe, then you receive, right? Faith comes by hearing by the Word of God. You hear it as you hear it, and it's a continuous process because our minds flake out on us a lot of times here. Verse 11, put on, where it says put on, that these are we're supposed to do this, the putting on. That's clothe yourself. It's the same thing we're endued with power from on high. So put on. While strengthening comes from God, we must clothe ourselves with the renewed mind, with the whole armor of God. See, the renewing of the mind is our responsibility. Right? But he's given us what to put on. It's not like we have to make it up. You know, it's not a... Then the word to stand on verse 11. To stand ready and prepared. So when we put this on, the whole armor... It's to make us ready and prepared for the battle. And then look at verse 13. Wherefore, take unto you. That's something we do, right? Take unto you. The whole armor of God, why? That you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, stand. withstand. The word withstand here, it says to set oneself against, to withstand, resist, oppose. See, resist, oppose. Eve did not stand against, right? Jesus Christ stood against, and we saw clear examples of that. It wasn't like, well, I'll consider it. It's opposing a thought, opposing an idea, opposing anything that goes against the knowledge of God. No, nope, I refuse to fear. Fear comes up in you. You can be, your knees could be shaking, you'd be sweating, but I say, I refuse to fear. You can do that. Don't go by your body. You can still refuse to fear in a situation. Don't give in to it. Cave in. Give up. Quit. See? We're almost done here, so bear with this one more last point. And 6:14, the word stand again is used. Stand. That word is to stand ready and prepared again. And it tells you how. Stand therefore having on. Now you're going to be prepared if you have on your loins girt about with truth, on the blessed plate of righteousness, your feet shod with the preparation of God, gospel of peace. And if you have the shield of faith, and wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and you take the helmet of salvation and sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and you're praying in the Spirit. See, that's being prepared. We take all this stuff. We put on certain things, and things are already there, like the word of God is there. We take it. We take the sword of the Spirit, the helmet of salvation. One point with your loins girt about with truth. I was looking this up, and it's not you're putting on a belt, actually, really, because it's like, what the hell is a belt? The loins is your core. Say, from your below your belly button to above it, like the muscle core of your body. It's core strength. So I was looking up that, and it says, just as the physical core, it is the region below the belly button and above the hip joints, provides strength and stability to our entire body, the mind is our spiritual core. Instead of muscles in our core that provide strength and stability to our whole body, in our minds we have truth and doctrine that provides strength and stability to the inner man. So to have the loins of your mind girded with truth is to be strong or prepared in the knowledge of God. It is to have the whole mind filled with the knowledge of God, so all your spiritual strength, stability, emotion flows from the truth based on God's word. That's it's a more realistic way to think about it. Not just, well, how do you do it? Basically, you're relying on God's utter faithfulness. That's what it is, and that's your strength. That's where your strength comes from. His be strong in the Lord, right? Utter faithfulness. So the key here is to fight the good fight of faith that we're the ones that fight it. God's given us all the resources we need to fight, and when we have won, Christ has overcome. We overcome in our Lord Jesus Christ, and we walk out boldly and confidently, knowing we're righteous, we're holy without blame. Everything the Word of God says we are, and we refuse to budge and give in on it. Amen?
Yeah. Okay.